Welcome back to the Bunker Mentality here on a Monday night. Another good opportunity for us to catch up with friend of the program and voice, radio voice of Atlanta United, Mike Conti. Mike, how are you on a Monday?
Sup.
So you're doing great.
Yeah, I awesome. Am. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
And again, another nice Monday to catch up and talk about another positive result. Now 7 unbeaten for Atlanta United since the opening game against Houston. They've been a completely different club, and you know, maybe 70 minutes of sort of interesting play on Saturday, but the last 20 were pretty beautiful.
Even in the 70 minutes where they were down or even, they were still outplaying Montreal. And this is what I wrote on 92.9thegame.com today. I'm encouraged because yet again we're finding a different way for Atlanta United to win a match, and we didn't know they could do this. And on Saturday, they were able to break down a club that was bunkering against them. They get the goal in the 13th minute. Huge marking error by Atlanta United. Tydier puts it home 1-0. And then they go into like a 9-1 shape where they just build a wall surrounding their 18-yard box. And Gressel's crosses were knocked down. And Garza's crosses were knocked down. And Atlanta United just could not connect anything in the final third because they were totally outmanned. But yet they were still able to break the wall down. And I think that's an enormously good sign. And another little dose of confidence for this club, right? Like, they know now that if they have to bunker themselves for 60 minutes down a man, they can do that, as they did against Minnesota. They've never had to do that before. Now they know they can do it in reverse. And this will happen at some point down the road. They're going to be down again. They're going to be down early. You know, credit to Montreal Impact. That's a team that has had huge problems lately. They came in having lost 3 in a row. You get the lead at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, darn right you're going to bunker, absolutely. I have no problem with that strategy. And every minute that went by where they were not conceding, they were gaining confidence, and yet Atlanta United, it's like I said on one of my goal calls, you can try, you can try, you can try. You just cannot beat the five stripes at the Benz. You just can't.
I have to say, as a person who loves offensive soccer, and love sort of an open, free-flowing game, the fact that the tactic for killing that is called bunkering really hurts. It's really tough that a bunker mentality in soccer is the exact opposite of what I would want to see.
Well, you know, the good news is your forefathers did not name you after a defensive tactic in soccer.
It is true.
It's just the luck of the draw. It's
just
okay.
A sand-filled pit on a golf course.
That is one definition,
that's
yes.
That's what we're named after. Anyway, I always find a way to make it about me, unfortunately. Mike Conti joining us here to react to what happened on Saturday, and I think you bring up a really good point. This team has shown that they can win in a variety of different ways that we did not see them do last season. Who do you credit for that? Is it a Tata Martino tactic?
Well, you were going to ask me who I credited, and I would say Tata, and it's not necessarily tactic. I think it's deployment of subs. Okay, and now let's look at what happened on Saturday. You know, Montreal is bunkering. Atlanta United needs to go more attack-oriented. Who do they bring in at halftime? Tito Villalba. And he was hanging on by a thread, by the way, at the end of that match. So I think he is not yet full match fit. He cannot give you a 90 yet. The fact he gave you 45 was pretty good. But by introducing Villalba into the game, the shape changed a little bit. Atlanta United came forward a little bit more. It was Nagby who moved back into that Larentowicz spot, the number 6, and I thought that was interesting as he kind of was the link between the back line and the attacking players. Then you bring in Kratz, and a lot of people were saying after the match, you know, Kratz has got to be a starter as well as he's taking these free kicks. And take nothing away from Kratz. He's had a great season. A lot of people forget he started against New York City. Very pressure-packed match. He got a spot start, played well, responsible defensively, jumps into the attack when needed, set up the penalty kick in L.A. that made it 2-0, the ball to Romario Williams where he was fouled. So he's done great. Absolutely, he should strike every free kick when he's on the pitch. I mean,
yeah,
we saw that twice.
That has been proven.
But I like the fact that you can bring him on as a super sub. Use him even as a reserve number 10 if you have to, if something happens to Almiron. I like the flexibility of being able to bring him off the bench. But again, I think Tata has done an excellent job all year knowing when to push that button to bring Kratz into a match. Used his subs very well against New York City, I thought, in a game where he was criticized for not using all three of his subs. They brought Barco on at the right point, and they had New York City on the ropes at the end of that match. We're getting spoiled. because we have such a good manager here in Atlanta. And I know it's all about the players, and we love the players, and we talk about them a lot. But what Tata has done over the last couple weeks, really since halftime in Houston, Tata is executing brain surgery on the rest of MLS right now.
Well, and I think we understand that as sports fans, how valuable the decision-making of the head coach or the manager can be. Dan Quinn gets criticized for some of his late-game play calling here and there. Coach Bud was lauded with praise for a lot of the decisions that he made and his ability to win with a subpar roster this year. So I think it's not that much of a stretch for people to look at a coach or a manager and say, yeah, I understand the value of him making correct decisions at the right time, but I think you bring up an important point, too. In order to be able to make the right decisions, you have to have the right guys at your disposal.
Right.
The depth that this roster has is so fantastic. It's going to help in a number of different ways as the season progresses.
Well, and I think you're really going to see it now coming up because starting Saturday in Chicago, three matches over 8 days, and none of them are easy. Chicago's played pretty well lately. They got a great draw in Toronto after being down 2-0 on Saturday. They come back, they get a draw on the road at Toronto. Very impressive. Then Sporting Kansas City, number one in the West, right up there with Atlanta United as a team that scores a ton of goals. And that's a midweek match. Then you go to Orlando, they've won five in a row. So this is a very difficult stretch of three matches coming up. I think even more difficult because of the compression than that run of LAFC, New York City, and LA Galaxy. I really strongly believe that. So now we're going to see the depth. Okay, Bajaba can't give you 90 yet, so maybe Saturday you start Gressel, you stay in the 3-5-2, same lineup you've had the last 2 weeks. Now Wednesday, maybe Vajaba's feeling a little bit better. Are you worried about Almiron playing a ton of minutes? Remember, he played an international game, too, a couple weeks ago. Do you give him a blow? Do you maybe look at resting one of your veterans like Larenowitz or Parkhurst? Well, now Franco Escobar is back in the mix. He barely played on Saturday, but at least he gave you a little bit of a run out. You know, Barco is match fit now. He can give you 90. This is going to be helpful because you've got these three matches in 8 days. And then you have U.S. Open Cup starting in early June. And Darren Eales has said on this radio station, they want to go out and win U.S. Open Cup this year. It's important to them. It's a way to get into the CONCACAF Champions League, as a matter of fact. So they'll be putting first-choice lineups out there in the U.S. Open Cup. They didn't really do that last year. So this is where your depth helps you right now, big time. And I think maybe not so much Saturday, but as we go into next week, you're really going to see some adjustments, some changes to try to keep everybody's workload as reasonable as possible.
Mike Conte joining us here on a Monday night on the Bunker Mentality, reacting to what Atlanta United did on Saturday, looking ahead as well. Now, I know I might be looking a little too far down the road with this question, but it's going to come up at some point. There are a variety of different trophies, essentially, that you can accomplish in a season. U.S. Open Cup is one that Darren Eales has said that they want to try to win. MLS Cup, of course, is one that they're going to try to win. Everyone in the league does. But there's something in soccer and in MLS that doesn't exist really in other sports. I guess it does in hockey, but it's not as big of a deal.
Don't be talking about the President's Trophy.
Right, not talking about, yeah, right, exactly.
That's the kiss of death.
No one really
hockey.
Cares about winning the President's Trophy.
No.
But the Commissioner's Shield, the Commissioner's
Supporter Shield
is the best record in the regular season.
Which is the President's Trophy in the NHL,
by the way. They don't do that in basketball or baseball or football.
No.
But in Europe, the best record in the regular season is the champion of the league. So there's always this conversation about how much do you care about that?
Oh, I think they care a lot. And again, it is a way, usually, it won't be this year, but it would usually be a mechanism to get you in a CONCACAF Champions League. And that is a huge, huge deal for Atlanta United because they have said publicly they want to have an opportunity to go to the FIFA Club World Cup, which is something that gets barely any attention here in the United States. But they want to go to the FIFA Club World Cup and have a chance to play against a club that won the Champions League, the UEFA Champions League. They want to have a chance to play against the best club in South America, the best team in Asia. They want to have that opportunity. Winning the Supporter Shield, it's not necessarily the case this year, but it will be in future years. That's a way to get in there. The fact that we're even having this discussion, in year two, an expansion team in its second year, that's 1 point out of first for Supporter Shield and has played one less match than the first place side, is remarkable. Again, knock on wood. Got to stay healthy. There's such a long way to go. Three quarters of the season remain. And the one thing that concerns me a little bit, Andy, as I look at the rest of MLS, is some teams have started to figure it out now. Not necessarily figure out Atlanta, but just figure themselves out. Orlando, like I said, playing a lot better now. They've won five in a row. Dallas lost to New York City yesterday 3-1, but I thought they were very good in that match, and they've only given up six goals all year. Western Conference side, so let them deal with that. Houston, I think, is starting to find themselves. LAFC has not lost since losing 5-0 to Atlanta United. Mention Kansas City. New England kind of has something going out of nowhere, very unexpectedly. And then, of course, you have the big clubs. Toronto, who's way down on the table right now, but plenty of time for them. New York City, Atlanta United. So you don't want to put the cart before the horse, because I think every match now going forward is going to be really tough. The target is going to be on Atlanta United's back. We saw that on Saturday. But the possibilities are really, really exciting.
You could win all three. You could legitimately
call
win
that
all three.
A treble? A treble?
The treble. I don't know why. I guess it's probably some sort of European word for triple.
Yeah, maybe.
Because there's three?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The root T-R-E.
Yeah. That's what I would assume.
We'll have to dig out our Latin and our Greek and try to figure that out.
I think I stole this from John Michaels. Curl it like craps. Is that going to catch on?
Someone actually tweeted us afterwards and said his new nickname should be Das Boot because he's German.
Unbelievable.
But actually, he had a typo. He said it should be Dad Boot. And I actually like that better.
Dad Boot.
Because he's 31 years old. He's old enough to be your dad.
Those two incredible free kicks on Saturday.
Unbelievable. And great for him, because he's done everything they've asked him to do this year, and he's passed every test with flying colors, including, like I said, that very big spot start against New York City where he was very good.
Mike Conte, we're out of time, as always, with much more to say, but we'll talk next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Great stuff from Mike Conte every single Monday at 8:20 as we talk some Atlanta United here on the Bunker Mentality. Also, Atlanta United supporters, you can join 92.9 The Game this Saturday night starting at 7 p.m. at Big Tex, located in downtown Decatur, for the Atlanta United versus Chicago Fire watch party. That sounds fun. Head down to downtown Decatur, watch the game.